Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here talking about the Word of God. We are talking about how when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto us, that one of the things that we should be doing is seeking justice. Seeking justice. God is a God that is a just God. He is a God of justice for all people, and He does not like it when injustice prevails. And so we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 10 today as we look at this. But this is a passage that I have God quickened to my spirit several years ago, and I preached this message, I would say probably going back, I don't know, 11 or 12 years, something like that. It was a while ago. And it's just a great passage of Scripture. And if you're just reading through the Bible, you may have skipped over this. So we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 10. This does have to do with justice, but we're going to get to that in due time. So, by the way, this Refresh Radio program is a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We have Wednesday night Bible studies. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have Sunday morning worship at 10:30. We generally have prayer meetings on Sunday nights at 6:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. If you got any questions, if you got a praise report, I want to thank all of those who supported the spring offering here at WMIE and our listeners to the Refresh Radio program. We thank you for helping to keep this ministry going throughout Brevard County. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1 says this, "Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness.' Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never came again such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Drop down to verse number 13. "Now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." So a lot of people have heard about the queen of Sheba. They read about it. they understand, you know, that she was intrigued by the things that she had heard in her land, and so she came, and they ended up having a mutually beneficial exchange of gifts there. She came bearing gifts to Solomon. Solomon came bearing or presented her with the things that she desired before she returned to her own country. And so if you remember when we were setting the stage for what does justice look like, how did we get to Solomon? Well, we got to Solomon through David. David had his own problems with injustice that started with himself treating himself to things that he was not entitled to, which manifest with problems in his family. David came to the throne because Saul was king, and there were problems in Saul's heart, which manifested in problems in Saul's family. Saul had come to the throne because Samuel was a prophet, and even though Samuel did everything right, he missed it being able to adequately prepare his sons for their role as judges throughout the land, and the people said, no, thank you. And so that's how we got Saul. We got Samuel because the same thing had happened with Eli and his sons. And so if you remember, we have talked about we cannot afford to tolerate injustice in our own selves. We can't afford to tolerate injustice in our homes or in our churches. And we certainly cannot afford injustice on a national scale or a community-wide scale. So that's how we got to Solomon. Solomon, if you remember on yesterday's program out of 1 Kings chapter 3, God had asked him to, or commanded him to ask of him anything that he wanted. And he asked for wisdom. On top of wisdom, he got understanding to discern justice. He was also, made wildly successful during his reign because of the things that he did not ask for. So now we come to 1 Kings chapter 10. It says that this journey that the Queen of Sheba began was because she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. So several years ago, like I told you, I preached this message, and the title of the message was this: Are You Famous Yet? Are you famous yet? And a lot of people don't want to be famous. A lot of people are famous for carnal reasons. They are famous because of how rich they are. Some people are famous because of some of the things that they have done, written a book, or invented something. Some people are famous for that. Some people are famous because of the amount of money that they have. Some people are famous because of the jobs that they do, such as Hollywood. Some people are famous because of the power that they have. And we're in 2021, and so some people are famous for being famous. They're influencers, and they want to be a celebrity, so they are just out there, and they're famous for being famous. That's really it. Some people are famous for being infamous, and those are people who are famous for all of the wrong reasons. They did horrible things. You don't want to be famous for that. You don't want to be remembered. You know, children who are neglected have this mindset many times that any attention is good attention. And so if they can't get attention from mom or dad for the right reasons, then they will go out and do the wrong thing because it gets mom and dad's attention that way. And so they get the attention, but it's for all of the wrong reasons. It doesn't say that the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon because she had heard of his fame in general. it says that she came to hear Solomon, to meet Solomon, to test Solomon. She, if you read the passage, she was really very cynical. She had some difficult questions that she wanted to ask. We'll talk a little bit later about the encounter that they had, but she was coming to disprove the things that she had heard. But the fame that she had heard about Solomon was not just because he was the king of Israel. It wasn't because of the judgments that he had made. It wasn't because of how wealthy he was or any of that. She came because she had heard he was famous concerning the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to know, I will never be famous for being tall. It's just not going to happen. It's not in my DNA. I'm not going to be famous because of how much money I've made or things that I've invented or things of that nature. I'm not going to be famous because of political power or anything like that. But those things that you may not be able or you are excluded from being famous for do not qualify when it comes to your spiritual pursuits. Everyone under the sound of my voice is capable of being famous concerning the name of the Lord. God's no respecter of persons. So Solomon's name means peace, but God had originally commanded that his name would be Jedidiah. Jedidiah means loved by God. Loved by God. And everyone listening to the sound of my voice, you are loved by God. That does not mean that you are living with God's endorsement of blessing upon your behavior. If you're a child of God, that's a different story. You are. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All of that that took place at the cross, everything that led up to the cross, everything after the cross, everything was because God loved you. God loved you. Solomon was born after a horrific sin encounter, so there is promise of blessing or potential of blessing if we will just repent of our sins and do things the right way. So Solomon comes on the scene, and she hears about him because of the name of the Lord. So, what would you do? How would you go about seeking a relationship with God? As a pastor, here's one of the things that I struggle with, finding a way to compel people to get over this hurdle. A lot of people think you come to the altar, you pray a prayer, you get up, and you leave exactly the same way that you came, except for your sins have been forgiven, and you've got a clean slate. I believe that God doesn't view the altar and that trip to the altar for salvation as the end of the journey. I believe he looks at that as the start of the journey, the launching pad. And so what happens after that isn't so much, well, you know, God just wanted to do great things through this person, or God just wanted to elevate this person, or God plays favorites. No, it says in Daniel that the people who know their God do great exploits. So it's a matter, how much am I willing to pursue God? Because the more I know of God, the more faithful that I am in my relationship with God, the more famous God is going to be, because people that I encounter are going to see a difference. They're going to notice a different mindset. They're going to notice a different set of verbiage. You know, instead of dropping F-bombs like the world, you're going to be dropping F-bombs of faith, not using the F-bomb of the world, but in a different one, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if that made some of you uncomfortable, I'm not saying use profanity or anything like that. I'm talking about, you know, if you had foul language before, you are going to now have faith language after that, and faith moves mountains. Faith in God moves mountains. So she came because she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And here's the reason she came. We're in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1. She came to test him with hard questions. She came to test him with hard questions. Here's one of the things that I have noticed with people who do not believe in God. They believe that they are the ones, the first ones in all of humanity that have come up with a question, a perspective, a point of view, a doubt, that is, it's the first one that God's ever heard that he's like, nope, I got no answer for that. They in their pride think that they have God in a spot that he is never going to prevail. And so they want to present those hard questions. Now, here's the thing about people in the church. The people in church generally have reached a place of comfort and complacency in their walk with God. They're not gaining new revelation of the word, and a lot of times faith in the church is pretty superficial. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it. And so whenever there is a question that they can't answer, well, they want to run to the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the ultimate solution is to get into the Word of God, get into your prayer closet, and say, God, I know that you have the answer to this question. Would you enlighten me so that I can address this person's question in a manner that they are going to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? So I'm not here just to tell you what to think. I am here to teach you how to think. The world and its influencers do not believe in your ability to process thought. They believe that you have to be told what to think, you know, and so because that's the way that they operate, they literally are terrified about, you know, an opposing point of view. Let me put it: they're terrified of the church ever rising and people of faith rising to positions of power, because they know what they would do. If they were in position of power, they would make it mandatory for people to think just like them. You know what? That's not what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is not about making spiritual robots out of people. That's not what we're here to do. We are here to equip you with the Word of truth so that you can make the choice, the decision to follow Jesus. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to a funeral. And in that funeral, the family talked about how it was for a husband and a father and a grandfather that had passed away. And they said the decision that he made at 16 years old to have Jesus as his Lord and Savior changed the trajectory of his future family. It was because of that decision that he met the lady that would be his wife. They've produced wonderful kids and wonderful grandkids and are a blessing to the body of Christ at large, because he made a decision concerning what he had heard about Jesus Christ. So don't be intimidated by the hard questions. If you look in John chapter 6, I believe it is, it says in verse number 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can understand it?" And so what happened was, verse number 66, the conclusion was, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. When things get to that point where you're going to have to go deeper in God, a lot of times people say, "I'm not wanting to do that." A lot of people understand that to whom much is given, much is required. And so their logic is, well, I don't want much to be required of me, so I don't want much to be given to me. I don't want much revelation. I don't want much responsibility. I just want to live my life in a Christian comfort zone. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to change the world for Jesus. We are his ambassadors. We are here to address the concerns that people have, and with the wisdom of God and the justice of God and the mercy of God operating in our life, we can make God famous in our lives and in those people's lives. So, you know, Merit Assembly of God, we exist to be a blessing, not so that people will just say, "Wow, you know, how could that little church do so much?" No, we want people to know that God is concerned about them. He loves them. He gave his life for them so that they could be saved. We want to make Jesus famous because he deserves to be famous. All the blessing, glory, honor, power, fame, all of that belongs to him. So I want to encourage you, don't just be looking to serve in obscurity. Serve God in such a way that you're not going to have to be your own self-adulation society. You're not going to have to sprain your shoulder patting yourself on the back. Live your life in such a way that news about your faith and your love for Jesus Christ impacts people and says, "You know what? That question that I've had, that thing that's been holding me back, I want to go and ask them. They sound like they know Jesus. Maybe God will give them an answer to the question that has been holding me back." So, I talk to people a lot. I have the gift of gab. I really do. Originally, my childhood demeanor was one that was very quiet, and then I became the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. I was in retail. In my childhood, I was terrified of rejection. I got placed in retail where I got rejected more than I got accepted, and I realized it wasn't fatal. God called me to Merit Assembly of God and has been developing my voice so that I could speak to people. I can speak to just about any walk of life and do so without intimidation because of who Jesus is. And so a lot of times people will ask me questions, and the obscurity of the questions sometimes are very intriguing. And my first response is not always to give the answer, because let me just tell you this. Some of the religious leadership in Jesus' time were looking for a sign that God had already told them what the sign was going to be. And they were saying, "Well, no, if you come down from the cross, then we're going to put our faith and trust in you." They had no intention of ever putting their faith and trust in Jesus. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, those same religious leadership, their primary objective was to make sure that Jesus died and Lazarus died as well. They were looking to kill Lazarus all over again. So a lot of people have questions And so they will ask those questions. And my first response will be, is this particular question what is really holding you back from becoming a mature believer, becoming a believer, or even a more mature believer in Jesus? Is this really the thing that is holding you back? And a lot of times their questions are not really valid questions. They're more of excuses that they use to make themselves feel better about being stuck at the place that they are. God doesn't want you stuck. He doesn't want us living the mundane. Jesus has raised us up so that we can walk in newness of life. The tender mercies of God are brand new every morning. The opportunities of what God can do in you and through you are brand new every morning. It is the day that the Lord has made. The opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it are brand new every morning. The potential, listen, the book of Acts says that people were added to the church, not just on every Sunday, but they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So every day for the believer is the opportunity for someone to be saved. Jesus must needs go through Samaria in John chapter 4. He encountered a woman who ended up getting delivered, saved, and led an entire community, an entire village to the Lord because she had a spiritual breakthrough. Every day has that possibility. I want to encourage you, don't be threatened or intimidated by the hard questions that people have. The truth of the matter that I tell people is this: if I can fully understand God, who is infinite, with my finite mind, my God's too small. My God's too small. But the truth of the matter is, God is infinite, but he can also cause me to understand things that I've never known before. That's what's so exciting about studying the Word of God, is when you get that revelation and that breakthrough, and you say, how did I miss that all of these years? And all of a sudden you come to understanding. I want to challenge all of us today. Let's be famous concerning the name of the Lord so that people will bring their hard questions and Jesus will answer them. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.